passing away of Bhishma Dev in the presence of Lord Krishna. So, how did the previous chapter end? No. Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation that he has become the cause of the killing of so many Akshauhini Sena just so that he could sit on the throne. So now we saw that how neither the sages, including Vyasadev, nor Krishna could pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, because Krishna didn't want. Adbhuta karmana. Krishna did adbhuta karma going inside the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Whatever, you know, pacifying words were coming, it did not touch Yudhishthira Maharaj at all. Because Krishna shielded Yudhishthira Maharaj. It made no impact. So they decided that let's go to Bhishma Dev. That's this chapter about. Iti bita prajadohat sarva dharma vivitsaya tato vinashanam pragat yatra deva vrato patat. So, yeah, we saw last time that how Krishna wanted to glorify Bhishma Dev. He wanted to show that Bhishma Dev, he is more knowledgeable than even Krishna himself. That's what he wanted to show. So therefore, he ensured that Yudhishthira Maharaj would not get pacified with all the good advice. So, Suta Goswami says, iti bhitaha, being fearful, praja drohat, thus being fearful because of having committed violence against all the population, swadharma vivitsaya, with a desire to understand what real dharma is, tato vinashanam pragat, Yudhishthira Maharaj went to Kurukshetra. Vinashanam is Kurukshetra. Yatra Devavrato Apatat, where Devavrat, Bhishma Dev Apatat, had fallen. But he had still not given up his life. He was waiting for Krishna. He was waiting to see Krishna before leaving. Okay. So they all went there. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, in the 9th chapter, Bhishma sees Krishna and at his request, he speaks on dharma to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Being praised profusely, filled with devotion, he attains the Lord. That is the next section. When all present agreed that the correct advice was to ask Bhishma, who knew all dharmas, whether Yudhishthira had lost his sense of judgment, Yudhishthira went to Kurukshetra to meet Bhishma. So not only Krishna ensured that Yudhishthira Maharaj would not understand, but he also, everyone was unanimous. Oh, none of us could convince Yudhishthira, only one person can, Bhishma Dev. They all said, you know, we should go to Kurukshetra and meet Bhishma Dev and let him resolve this whole issue. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, the passing away at will, he had Ichchamrityu, Bhishma Dev. Attracted the attention of all the contemporary elites and they were assembled in Kurukshetra to watch this. Tadate brataras sarve sadashvai swarna bhushitaihi anvagachandratair vipra vyasa domyadayastata. Tada, at that point of time, te brataras sarve, all is brothers. Vipra, Vyasa Dhaumyadaya Vipra, Brahmana such as Vyasa and Dhaumya, Tata Anugachat, followed behind. Swarna Bhushitaihi Rataihi, with chariots decorated with gold, the best of the chariots were chosen. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, because they knew Bhishma's glory as Dharmagya. He is the specialist in all kinds of dharma. So they followed behind, and best of the chariots was chosen, which was all, it had all gold leafing and everything, and the finest of horses were chosen to go to this place. Very uncharacteristic to meet a person who was about to die. That is why Krishna is, Krishna exactly knows. That's why Krishna says that Kshetragyam chapi mam viddi sarva kshetreshu bharata. So Krishna is Kshetragya in everyone's body. So Bhishmadev, he exactly knows what would please Bhishmadev. So people might wonder, what is he doing? Where are we going? We are not going to a marriage. We are going to a person who is going to leave his body. Huh? But Krishna exactly knew what would please Bhishma Dev. Okay. Bhagavan api viprarshe rate na sadananjayaha satair vyarochata drupa Kuvera iva guhyakaihi. So he says, O Viprarshi, O Shaunaka, Bhagavan saha Dhananjayaha, the Lord along with Dhananjay, Arjuna, api ratena, also followed behind in his chariot. So again Krishna was driving Arjuna's chariot. They were going. Son Drupaha, King Yudhishthir, Vyarochata, he was dazzling, effulgent. Kuvera Iva Guhyakaihi, just like Kuvera was moving along with all the Guhyakas surrounding him. Kuvera is the treasurer of all the demigods. He was like it was a glorification of Yudhishthir Maharaj. Which means you can imagine what kind of, if Kuvera moves in a procession along with the Guhyakas, it must have been a real spectacle to watch with all the wealth that he had. So, here, if Suta Goswami is comparing Yudhishthir Maharaj and his entourage to Kuvera and Guhyakas, you can imagine it must really have been a very opulent thing. You know what Kuvera must be. Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Krishna made them appear in an aristocratic way so that Bhishma will be pleased while leaving his body. See, Bhishma Dev, in one sense, if you see his life, very interesting personality. If you understand, you know, so Bhishma Dev in one sense had no connection with the Pandavas. Right? Bhishma Dev was born to who? Mother Ganga and Shantanu. Right? So then Mother Ganga left, you know this story. Then Shantanu wanted to marry Satyavati. So Shantanu married Satyavati. Correct? And he begot two sons. Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Right? So Chitrangada and Vichitravirya had to so they were the heir apparent. They were like the step brothers of Bhishma. So now they came to marriageable age and Bhishma had said, I will not get married. But he was very committed to protecting them. He taught them. See, it's one thing to say that, you know, okay, I will not take the throne. But after that, when his father has passed away, his stepbrothers are there, who are the very reasons why he is not sitting on the throne. Bhishmadev at that time was the most powerful warrior on earth. Not a single person could defeat Bhishmadev. That was his prowess. He willingly left his throne. Not only that, he trained his stepbrothers. He trained his stepbrothers completely. And then when they came to marriageable age, he personally went to the Swayamvar, where Amba, Ambalika and Ambika, their Swayamvar was happening. He kidnapped all three of them. And with all the kings who had assembled there, single-handedly defeated all of them. Not just defeated, but humbled them. And brought Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. And of the three, was it Amba who said, I want to marry Shalva. He says, okay, you may go. That's a different story. So Ambika and Ambalika were married to Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. Chitrangada died before that. Another Gandharva by the name Chitrangada, he came and he killed this Chitrangada. So only Vichitravirya was left. So these two women were married to Vichitravirya. But Vichitravirya, he died of tuberculosis. Okay. So now he has no stepbrothers at all. See, his only connection with the next, the only remote connection with his father's kingdom was those stepbrothers. Now stepbrothers are also gone. So Ambika and Ambalika are in one sense no way related to Bhishmadev. So Satyavati said, okay, we have to do something. And so she said, okay, Bhishma, you have to now impregnate them because the kingdom cannot be without a heir. And it is allowed. Devarena Sutotpatti. It's not yet Kali Yuga. Kalau Pancha Vivarjayet. These five are not allowed in Kali. But it was still Dwapara Yuga. So it was allowed. So it was legal. But he denied. No, I cannot do it. And I will not break my vow. But then he suggests, you have another son, Vyasadev. So you can call Vyasadev. So Vyasadev comes. Bhishma has no connection with Vyasadev. Because this was Satyavati's son from Parashar Muni. So therefore, and he has no connection with Ambika and Ambalika also. So, the sons who would be born now, Dhritarashtra and Pandu, what connection did Dhritarashtra and Pandu have to Bhishma Dev? No connection actually, isn't it? But still, he trained them perfectly to become kings. Then after that, he trained the next generation, Pandavas and Kauravas also, took care of them so nicely. Despite being, he showed such parental affection to them, despite not being a parent himself. So now, he is now happy. His only happiness is in seeing the Pandavas ruling under the protection of Krishna. What kind of a sacrifice? A life of sacrifice is Bhishma's life. Where he is feeling, you know, my life has become successful because I know the Pandavas have been enthroned and they are under Krishna's protection. What kind of a life of sacrifice is Bhishma's sacrifice, you know, Bhishma's life? So, therefore, Krishna ensured that they were dressed perfectly for the occasion. In one sense, it was inappropriate for the occasion, but Krishna knew exactly what would please Bhishma Dev. So, he made them dress in that way. Drishtva nipatitam bhumau divaschutam mivamaram pranemo pandava bhishmam sanuga sahachakrina. Drishtva bhishmam nipatitam bhumau, seeing that Bhishma was lying on the ground, divaschutam iva amaram, just like a fallen devata, pranemuhu pandava, the Pandavas offered respects to him, sanuga along with their followers, sahachakrina along with Krishna, all of them offered their respects to Bhishmadev. The carrier of chakra, chakri, or chakrapani. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Krishna, even though aware of his supreme position, followed social customs and bowed down to Bhishma Dev. Even though he was supreme lord, he need not bow down to his devotee. Still followed social customs. Tatra brahmarshayas sarve devarshayas cha sattama rajarshayas cha tatrasan drashtum bharata pungavam. O Shaunaka, tatra, there, brahmarshayas sarve devarshayas cha rajarshayas cha, all the brahmarshis, devarshis, rajarshis, asan, they all had gathered. How did they know? There was no WhatsApp in those days. You know, please come. You know, Bhishma Dev is leaving and Krishna is going to, is taking all the Pandavas. And they all had to walk only from wherever they were. It's not like all of them were huddled together in one place, waiting for the information to come. They were in different places. They all came exactly at the same time. Drashtum Bharata Pungavam, to see the best of the Bharata lineage, to see the passing away of Bhishma Dev. Okay. Then, who all were there? Who is who? Of all of whom who had assembled there? O Brahmana, Parvata, Narada, Dhaumya, Vyasa, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, Parashuram, Vashishta, Indra Pramada, Trita, Gritasmada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, Sudarshana, along with their disciples, and as well as many other pure sages such as Shuka, Kashyapa and Brihaspati came along with their disciples. So all of them were there. Okay. Shukai Shukadeva Swami. Okay. You want to ask something, Rakesh bro? Huh? Some question must be there. Huh? Generally, people have some question here. No. Generally, the question is that Shukadev Goswami came there while during passing a Bhishma Dev. Whereas it is mentioned that when Shukadev Goswami instructed Parikshit Maharaj, he was 16 years old. So what was the time difference between passing away of Bhishma Dev and him speaking Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj? Was he? I don't know. So, or was he, let's say it was 16 years. It must have definitely been more than that, because Parikshit Maharaj is not yet born. Or maybe just born. So, when he chose to give up his kingdom, his son Janamejaya was of ruling age. Which means he must have been at least 25, 30 years old. So, if Shukadeva Goswami visited Bhishma Dev during his passing away. Pandavas also ruled for some years. 36 years it says. Then Parikshit Maharaj was enthroned. After that Parikshit. So, you know, I don't have an answer for this. Or my sort of speculation is that he looked 16 years old. Maybe. I don't know. But I don't have an answer for this. But these are not like very critical philosophical points. We need not bother ourselves with such things. Tan sametan mahabhagan upalabhya vasuttamah pujayamasa dharmagyo deshakala vibhagavit. Next verse also prove. 6 to 8. In the 8th verse it's there. Anyecha munayo brahmarata. Brahmarata is Shukadev Goswami. Angirasa is Brihaspati. So like that. So Prabhupada gives a description of each one of them. Who are they? Their stories. So who is Kaushika, Sudarshan, Asita, Kritasmada, and so on. So, you can read whenever you have time. Tan sametan mahabhagan upalabhya vasuttamah pujayamasa dharmagyo deshakala vibhagavit vasu uttamah. So, Bhishma Dev was one of the Ashtavasus. You know this story, right? So he was one of the Ashtavasus and he was the best amongst the Vasus. Vasu Uttama. Mahabhagan, endowed with great qualities. Dharmagyu, knowledgeable of Dharma. He knew the Dharma and not only did he just know the theory, but Desha Kala Vibhagavit. He perfectly knew how to apply the principles of the Dharma according to time, place and circumstances. Tan sametam upalabhya pujayamasa. Seeing that they had gathered there, he worshipped them. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport that expert religionists know how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. So this is very important. Expert religionists know perfectly well how to adjust religious principles in terms of time and place. All the great acharyas or religious preachers or reformers of the world executed their mission by adjustment of religious principles in terms of time and place. But one has to be really advanced And even if he is advanced, must always take guidance of superiors and peers to see if it is a valid adjustment, if it's an adjustment of a detail or adjustment of a principle, because principles should not be adjusted. The details can be adjusted. But here, Suta Goswami tells that Bhishma Dev was a dharmagya and desha kala vibhaga vit. He perfectly knew how each dharma had to be applied according to time, place and circumstances. One has to preach in different countries and places by expertly adjusting things in terms of time and place. Bhishma Dev was physically not well. Okay. So here he is doing Atithi Seva to all of who had come. So there are rules for Atithi Seva. How an Atithi has to be treated. That itself is quite complex. Okay. Vedic guest reception means it's not so simple. It's very, very, you can say, meticulous, intricate, to perfectly cater to the guest's interests. But here, it was not a straightforward guest reception situation. Bhishma Dev had to receive the guests, but he was not at his home. He was on a battlefield. So he should know how the principles need to be adjusted to receive guests outside one's home. Okay. Not only that, it was not just outside his home, but he was lying on his deathbed. So he should know how the guest reception principles need to be adjusted to receive guests not only outside his home, but also while he himself is lying on the deathbed. Physically not fit. So Prabhupada writes the same thing here. One has to preach in different countries and places by expertly adjusting things in terms of time and place. Bhishma Dev was physically not well, and also he was not at his home. So how did he receive his guests? He used his sound mind and uttered sweet words with hearty expressions. Hearty expressions. From his heart he received them. Therefore, one can perform one's duty by physical work, mind and words. Kayena manasa vacha. Like that.
Krishnam chatat prabhavagya asinam jagadishwaram hridistam pojayamasa maya yopata vigraham. Krishnam chatat prabhavagya. Not only was he dharmagya, not only was he deshakala vibhagavit, but he was also Krishnam prabhavagya. He knew the prowess of Krishna. He knew who Krishna was. Pujayamasa. So therefore, he perfectly worshipped Krishna, who was Jagadishwaram, who was the Lord of the universe. Hridistam, who was also situated within the heart. But Asinam, now he was sitting in front of Bhishma Dev. Mayaya Upatta Vigraham. And who had come before Bhishma out of his great mercy. So Maya here refers to mercy. Can you think of any other place where the word Maya indicates mercy? Bhagavad Gita. Not at all. Mama Maya Duratyaya. Where else does the word Maya indicate mercy in Bhagavad Gita? Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan prakritim swam avashtabhya sambhavami atma mayaya. So Krishna's appearance is due to his own mercy. There the word atma mayaya indicates his own mercy. Krishna's descent is a manifestation of his own merciful nature. So here also it is mentioned Mayaya upatta vigraham. Krishna, who had come before Bhishma out of great mercy. Srila Vishnachara Thakur writes, Mayayo upatta vigraham can mean Krishna, who had a conflict. Vigraha also means conflict. Mayayo upatta vigraham means Krishna, who had a conflict with Yudhishthir, by covering up his discrimination with his yoga maya. This is the meaning of mayayo patta vigraham. Secondary meaning. Maya, in the second meaning, maya means yoga maya. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was covered by yoga maya. And because Yudhishthira Maharaj was covered by yoga maya, there was a vigraham, conflict between Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna said, no, you should not lament. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I think I have all reasons to lament. I will lament. So there was a conflict between Yudhishthira Maharaj and Krishna, created by yoga maya. So that is the meaning of mayayo, mayaya upatta vigraham. Vigraha, conflict that was created by upatta, covering of maya, yoga maya here. Or another meaning is that Krishna, who brought himself before the eyes of Bhishma by his mercy. That is the first meaning. Mayayo upatta vigraham, like that. Upatta means, here it means to bring oneself. In the first case, upatta means to cover. In the second case, upatta means to bring himself, like that. Vigraham means his form. Mayaya means by his mercy. Mercifully he brought his form in front of Bhishmadev. That is the meaning of Mayaya upatta vigraham. Another meaning is Mayaya by yoga maya upatta. Because of being covered by yoga maya, there was a vigraham, conflict between Krishna and Yudhishthira Maharaj. Like that. So Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, when Krishna displays his eternal transcendental form in the material world, he does so by his internal potency. So Prabhupada translates mayaya as yoga maya. Material energy has nothing to do with his eternal form. So therefore, Prabhupada says here, mayaya should not be translated as mahamaya. Because material energy, his transcendental form has nothing to do with material energy. Like that. Panduputranupasinan prashraya prema sangatan abhyachashtanuragashrayar andi bhutena chakshusha. Anuraga ashrayir. Anuraga means love. Ashrayir, tears. Andi bhutena chakshusha. Andi bhutena means blinded. Chakshusha is eyes were blinded by tears of love. Abhyachashta, as he spoke. Panduputra nupasinan, to the Pandavas who are sitting there. Prashraya prema sangatan. The Pandavas were sitting there filled with humility and love. Prema sangatan. Prashraya. Prashraya means humility. Prema Sangatan means love. So, Bhishmadev was also blinded by love. His eyes became blinded by tears of love. And the Pandavas were also sitting there, filled with humility and love. And Bhishmadev exactly knew under what circumstances Yudhishthira Maharaj had come there. Why Krishna had brought Yudhishthira Maharaj there? Bhishmadev knew. So he exactly spoke what needed to be spoken. Like that. Just as how the Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayantite. Yudhishthira Maharaj had not spoken anything. Still, Krishna, for one who is Satata Yukta, who engages in continuous service with Krishna, continuous service to Krishna, with a desire to establish an eternal relationship with Krishna, Krishna gives him the knowledge that is needed. So, Bhishmadev exactly knew what to speak. No one had to tell him why Yudhishthira Maharaj, why all of them had assembled there. So, Srila Prabhupada writes here in the purport, Pandu died early and Bhishmadev showered affection on Pandavas. Cheated by the Kauravas and many other, and facing many other troubles, in spite of being innocent. Therefore, when the Pandavas came to the deathbed, royally dressed, Bhishmadev could not check his tears. He became most satisfied. Bhishmadev congratulated Yudhishthira Maharaj. He became very much touched seeing them in that royal attire. Aho kashtam aho nyayam yadyo yam dharma nandanah jivitum narhata klishtam vipradharma chutashrayah. O Dharmanandana, O Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vipra Dharma Achyuta Ashraya, because you had the shelter of the Vipras, the Brahmanas, Dharma and Achyuta, that is Krishna, only because you took shelter of the Vipras, Brahmanas and Achyuta, Vipras, Dharma and Achyuta, you are still living. Otherwise, yad yuyam na arhata jivitam klishtam. Otherwise, you should not live your life in suffering. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. How much you had to suffer? What all you had to go through? If only you had not taken shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta, you would have died long back. This is exactly what Yudhishthira Maharaj had to hear. Because he was lamenting that he became the cause of the death of so many people. But here he is telling, Kurukshetra battle itself would not have been there if you had not taken shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. You would all have been long dead. Where is the question of sitting here and lamenting? Those people whom you killed would have killed you long back. You must have died long back. You don't deserve to die. You don't deserve to live. Only because you took shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta, therefore you are living. So therefore, you should not be lamenting. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not against Dharma. This is the first thing he says. So, here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, why did Bhishmadev speak like this first? Why did he speak this verse first? He should have asked, my dear Pandavas, how are you doing? How is it going? So he says, aho kashtam, aho anyayam. Seems like a very strange way of, receiving the Pandavas. But that's exactly what Yudhishthira Maharaj needed to hear. So Prabhupada writes, why did Bhishma Dev speak like this first? Seems like a strange way of welcoming guests. So Prabhupada gives two reasons. He says, King Yudhishthira was disturbed due to the massacre, and therefore he spoke of the great injustice and suffering so that Yudhishthira Maharaj could stop regretting. You should not be lamenting. It was appropriate that you killed them, because they tried to kill you long back. You must have died much before. You are still surviving only because you took shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. So therefore, don't feel bad. You did the appropriate thing. Second, he wanted to impress on the point that they were protected by Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. They were your protectors. You are protected because you took shelter of Vipra, Dharma and Achyuta. When anyone is protected by these three, there is no cause of disappointment. Therefore, when one is in cooperation with the wishes of Achyuta, guided by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and strictly following Dharma, then there is no cause of despondency. That's the conclusion. Prabhupada says, therefore, when one is in connection with the wishes of Krishna, protected but guided by the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and acting strictly following Dharma, then there is no cause of despondency. So like that, he is telling, what all you had to go through, Yudhishthira Maharaj, just imagine, think about it. From your young age, Bhishma was poisoned. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat. It's interesting that Yudhishthira Maharaj started lamenting after hearing Kunti Maharani's prayers. Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshana Asat Sabaya Vanavasa Krachrata Mrde Mrde Aneka Maharatastrato Dravnyastatashchasma Harebi Rakshita. That was just a gist. That was just a summary. It was not the exhaustive list. The list was very long. So it was not necessary for Yudhishthira Maharaj to lament in this way. But how can you oppose the Yogamaya potency of the Lord? If Krishna has chosen to cover you up with Yogamaya, there is nothing you can do. So Yudhishthira Maharaj started lamenting. So he says, Bhishma Dev is reminding him, think of the injustice that you had to go through. Do you think any normal person would have survived such an injustice? Like that. Samstite atirate pandav prita bala prajavaduhu yushmat krite bahun kleshan prapta tokavati muhuhu. Samstite atirate pandav. When the atirati means he is greater than even Maharati. When the Atirati Pandu, when he died, Prita Bala Prajavadu, his wife Kunti, with young children, Muhuhu Bahun Kleshan Prapta. Again and again she underwent so much austerities and difficulties. Yushmat Krite, because of you people. Because of you Pandavas, can you think how much your mother had to suffer? This is a very sensitive thing. When someone very close to you, their suffering is brought to the forefront, then you know the blood starts boiling. So Bhishma Dev says, okay, if that is not good enough, then he says, think about the suffering of your mother. how much she had to go through. She lost her husband so early. How much she had to go through. Did you think of it? Like that. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur says, being alone with young children causes much suffering. Though you are now grown up, she underwent great suffering with you as a young child. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes, now Bhishma Dev is citing Kunti Maharani's double suffering to pacify King Yudhishthira. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, whatever suffering one is destined to suffer due to providence, one has to tolerate without being disturbed. So, therefore, this tolerance of duality is said to be the quality that is most repeated in Bhagavad Gita. Dukkesha anudvignamana sukesha vigata spruha vitaraga bayakrodha stadirmuni ruchyate yas sarvatrana vishneha stattat prabhya shupa ashubham nabhinandanti nadveshti tasya pragya pratishtita. So many places. Samaloshtrashma kanchana. Because absence of dualities means absence of material impressions. Because material impressions means dualities. Once the material impressions are wiped out, there is no question of dualities. Because only because something is likable and something is not likable to us. Something is pleasing, something is displeasing. Something is attractive, something is unattractive. All because of previous impressions. If there is no past impression of coming in touch with a particular sense object, then it doesn't create any duality. So, equanimity in terms of duality indicates actually complete destruction of material impressions. And we all know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that these material impressions are the last to get wiped out. Last. Vidya is the last thing. Vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarva samshaya. Kshyante jasya karmani drishta evatmanishwari. So this vidyate hridaya granthi is destruction of avidya. And this verse talks about which stage of bhakti? Vidyate hridaya granthis chidyante sarva samshaya. Which stage? Bhava. At the stage of bhava only gets destroyed completely. So therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, samatvam yoga uchyate. You remember? Where does he say this? Sixth chapter he says, samatvam yoga uchyate. It's the third chapter. I think it's second chapter. Right? Samatvam yoga uchyate. He says, samatvam means equanimity. He says, equanimity is yoga. You may say, equanimity is just one quality. How can you call equanimity as yoga? Because if equanimity is there, it is assumed that one has reached perfection of yoga. Because that is the most difficult to achieve. That absolute equanimity is achieved only after the last traces of material impressions are wiped out. Equanimity means not being disturbed by dualities. So therefore he says, samatvam yoga uchyate. Samatva is yoga, he says. How can one quality be equated to yoga? Because it's the last quality one would achieve. So if you have achieved that quality, it means all the other qualities are there. So therefore, he says Samatvam Yoga Ucchati. Okay. Yes, Prabhu. Not in that sense. It goes away means it does not affect him in terms of that material experience. The memory of that material experience is wiped off. But if that is favorable for him, Krishna gives him the memory to remember. So he would still remember how he lived a material life in order to invoke that humility in him. But the actual experience of experiencing something, a material object, that impression is gone. Because that impression which would create a craving for that object, or that impression which would otherwise create a hatred towards that object, that impression is wiped out. But some kind of memory is still given to him, so that he can say that, how I lived a life dedicated to sense gratification, So that memory is there. But the memory of actually enjoying that object is not there, which would actually push him towards sense gratification. That memory is taken away. So, but still, the memory of having lived a materialistic life itself is not completely taken off. Because that is needed to bring out the glory of a devotee. So when he starts lamenting out of genuine humility, that glorifies the devotee. So that is not completely taken away. That is given by Krishna. Okay. So then, he says, Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chayada priyam sapalo yadvashe loko vayo riva ganavalihi. So now the question arises. Aho kashtam, aho anyayam. Why did we undergo all that? Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking. Why did we have to undergo all these kinds of suffering in our life? So Bhishma Dev says, Manye, in my opinion, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yad apriyam, whatever unwelcome experiences that you had in your life, Bhavatam sarvam kalakritam, understand that everything was done by time. Time is the cause of your suffering. Sarvam kalakritam manye bhavatam chayada priyam. And what is the nature of time? What is the power of time? Yad vashe lokaha. It controls the whole world. Sa palaha, along with the lokapalas, all of them are controlled by time. Vayoriva ganavali, just as wind controls the clouds, even though they may be, the clouds are actually quite heavy in one sense, because they are holding how many gallons of water. One small cloud can inundate a whole village with water. So, and wind effortlessly, drives away that cloud. Vayoriva ganavali. So, as Kapila Dev says, Yadbayad vati vatoyam suryas tapati madba yadbayad varshati indro tapatyagnir mrityus charati. There are two such verses. One is about time, another is about Supreme Lord Himself. One is madbayad, another is yadbayad. Huh?
like that. So, and here it is said that I understand that everything is done by time. This is what Bhishma Dev says. So, here it is mentioned that what is the cause of suffering? What is the cause of our suffering? Yudhishthira Maharaj might ask. It cannot be said. Bhishma Dev says, I cannot tell. Because I do not see any recent or old karmas as the cause. Because you lived a very dharmic life. So I can't tell you that your karma is the cause. Because I didn't see you performing any inappropriate karma. Therefore Bhishma speaks words of the common people. Kal ka prabhav se sab ho gaya. You don't have to feel bad about it. But Yudhishthira Maharaj may say, but time is simply the substratum of the experience of happiness and distress, which are the prarabdha karmas. Time, you cannot say time is responsible. To say time is responsible is like telling the postman who delivered you the pink slip, he is responsible for all your suffering. Pink slip, you all know? Right? You all worked, right? Pink slip means you're that you are fired from your job. You are fired from your job. So if the postman delivers it to you, is he really responsible for your suffering? So here Yudhishthira Maharaj may ask, why are you telling sarvam kalakritam manye? Time is just carrying your karma. Time is just the carrier of your karma. So shouldn't you just say that sarvam tava karma kritam manye? You are suffering because of your bad deeds. Why are you just, but bolenge to thoda bura lagega na? I remember once when I was sitting right in front and one of my aunts, she has a son, my cousin brother, who is mentally challenged. They had come here also. I don't know if you were here. So, he is mentally challenged, my cousin brother. He is now almost like 34, 35 years old. So, and the parents really suffered a lot because of that. So, raising him up. Is still raising him. So there was one of my uncles we had gone to a marriage, my cousin sister's marriage, and we all were sitting together, my aunt, my cousin brother, and all of us were sitting together, and this uncle came and stuck up a conversation. He's a very gentleman, very wonderful gentleman. So he was just trying to pacify my aunt. Because he knew, you know, that's natural. Whenever anyone sees my aunt, you know, they would try to be a little more nice to her because, you know, what she had to go through. So, he said that, you know, ultimately everything is according to law of karma. But, so many people had so insensitively, you know, spoken about law of karma to her, she already had a very bad experience. So as soon as the word karma came out of his mouth, she just blasted him. She just blew him off. And, you know, it was a sort of a scene there. So, because no one wants to be told that your suffering is due to your own misdeeds. They can say out of humility. But if you say, then it becomes a big issue. So here, Yudhishthira Maharaj could say, Why are you just sugarcoating this whole thing by telling that time is the cause? Why don't you just plainly tell me that my suffering is due to my own past misdeeds? How can time be the cause? Time will just bring you what you deserve. It's just a carrier. Time does not concoct and bring whatever it wants. Time is jadavastu. Time does not have a consciousness of its own. Time just carries what you deserve. And what you deserve is decided by what you have done. So why can't you just tell sarvam tava karma kritam manni? Why you are telling sarvam kala kritam manni? So thus when you say that time is the cause, time is acting as an assistant. Why do you not just say clearly that our suffering is our prarabdha karma resulting from our sins? Yudhishthira is well known as the direct incarnation of dharma. Can he perform any sinful activity? If dharma has prarabdha karmas, how can he have any sense of dharma? So, the cause is not karma, but time, which cannot be countered and cannot be explained. So, time is not carrying karma. Because how can Dharmaraj perform any impious karma? So, therefore, time is carrying something else. What is it that time is carrying? He will explain it very soon. Yeah, it comes. So maybe in some other context I discussed this in Kolkata. Prabhuji was there. So he's telling that, so that's what Yudhishthir Maharaj has now a very fair question. Why you are calling sarvam kala kritam manya? Why can't you directly tell that I am suffering because of, I am okay. Bhishma Dev, you can tell me that I am suffering because of my karma, I will not feel bad about it. Because I know you are my well-wisher. You can tell me, you are suffering because of your own karma. But why you are telling that time is the cause? Like that. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes, all great planets including the sun are controlled by the force of air, just as clouds are carried by air. But Kala controls even the action of air and other elements. Therefore, Kala is a forceful representative of Krishna. And everyone is controlled by it. So, how does this help Yudhishthira Maharaj? How does this answer help Yudhishthira Maharaj? Prabhupada says, he should not lament that he is suffering reactions because of his sins. Accept it as the action of Kala. That's what Prabhupada writes. Therefore, Prabhupada says, therefore a devotee must be guided by Vipra Dharma and Achyuta and should be faithful to the Lord. He should not be disturbed by the tricks of Kala. He should not be disturbed by the tricks of Kala. So then, he says in the next verse, yeah.
Some places, Prabhupada specifically means in Brahman.
Yeah. Vaishnava. When Prabhupada says Brahmana, it means Vaishnava.
Not to say that, yeah. Vaishnava will include Brahmana.
Huh? Yes,
that only that. Vanapai Brahmana means
Vaishnava. Vaishnava. Because we saw the other day, na? Varnashram, bona fide Shudra also means a Vaishnava. Because one who is not a Vishnu worshipper is not within Varnashram at all. Is not a follower of Varnashram. Because Varnashram means Vishnu worship. So therefore, when Prabhupada says Brahmana means Vaishnava, it's a very scientific thing that he is telling. What to speak of Brahmanas? Shudra means he is a Vaishnava. If he is not a Vaishnava, he is not even a Shudra. He is not within Varnashram. Like that. So therefore, no one can. It's exactly according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So when Prabhupada says Brahmana means Vaishnava, it is exactly according to the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Like that. There is no question of non-Vaishnava Brahmanas. It's just a perverted. It's just a perversion actually. There is nothing called non-Vaishnava Brahmanas. It's an oxymoron. You know what is an oxymoron? Who can give me an example of an oxymoron? Ashitosh Prabhu. Okay, get the exact dictionary meaning of oxymoron. O-X-Y-M-O-R-O-N. Oxymoron. Read. A figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms come together. Example must have been given. Kept him falsely true. Falsely true. Thoda bahut. Thoda ya bahut. So, these are like oxymoron. Those which cannot coexist. They are exact opposites. So, to say that non-Vaishnava Brahmana is an oxymoron. They cannot coexist. A non-Vaishnava cannot be a practitioner of Varnashrama only. I don't know. I don't know the history of Chanakya Pandit. Vishnu. I have heard some Prabhupada quotes, some quotes of Chanakya Pandit where he talks about Vishnu worship actually. Correct, but there are some quotes which talk about worship of Vishnu, if I remember right. I can't think of a quote offhand, but I remember reading some Chanakya's quotes which are actually, so that's your homework. Try to search, folio search, at your free time, whenever you have free time, search. And let's find out if Chanakya has spoken about Vishnu worship or not. If he is not, then you cannot, in the strictest sense, consider him as a Brahmana. According to the scriptures, according to Bhagavad Gita. Like that. We don't accept Smartha's opinions. So they may accept or not accept. You can't get. So we accept Bhagavad Gita's opinion. So Bhagavad Gita is quite clear as to what it has to. Whether they accept or not, okay, that's fine. At least we can't change our views must be guided by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So we can't change our views because the Smarthas cannot accept it. Like that. They didn't accept when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur presented. Why they will accept when we present? Like that. Sharp, dull person. Either he is sharp or he is dull. How can one be sharp, dull? Sharp and dull. Like that. So like that. Either one is a... So that's what. Either one is a non-Vaishnava, or if he is a Vaishnava, he is within Varnashram. Therefore, Asuri Varnashram is one such oxymoron. Either it is Asuri or it is Varnashram. There is nothing called Asuri Varnashram. it's a terminology coined by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Daivi Varnashram, Asuri Varnashram. These are not there in scriptures. He coined it because the whole Varnashram system had, you know, degraded to such a level that they removed Vishnu worship also out of, which is the most pivotal point, which is what holds the whole Varnashram system together. They removed that pivot only. So, what exists? Because anyway, people will act according to their natures. So therefore, when Varnashram, when scriptures talk about Varnashram, it's basically about Vishnu worship only. Like that. Bad guru. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Huh? Many quotes on Vishnu. Now already you have done the research. Okay, you can read one or two. Achha, he had the same question. These are all Chanakya's. Okay. So then he says, Bhishmadev says that no. Time does not automatically imply karma for everyone. Time is not necessarily the carrier of karma for everyone. So he says, how? Yatra dharma suto raja gada panir vrikodaraha krishna astri gandhi vamchapam suhrit krishna stato vipat. He says that you are lamenting vipat. Yatra dharma suto raja. So he says that where there is Yudhishthir, the son of Dharma, Gadapanir Vrikodara, the most powerful Bhima is a part of you. Krishna Astri Gandivam Chapam, and Arjuna, the holder of the Gandiva bow, he is also with you. And you are guided by Krishna, who is your Suhrit. Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat. So if you are suffering amidst all these unlikely, you know, how can suffering caused by karma be existing in such a group when there is Dharmaraj Yudhishthir, Dharmasuta, son of Dharma, Dharmaraj himself actually, and guided by Krishna. So how can in such a group, the suffering of such a group be due to one's karma? So think about it. He is giving, Bhishmadev is giving some food for thought to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Think about it. Is it possible that all your actions are guided by Krishna? And on top of that, you are Dharmaraj himself. There is powerful Bhima and skillful Arjuna with you. Is there any chance that you have any bad karma? So therefore, definitely time has brought all the suffering to you. But it's probably not carrying your karma. It must be carrying something else. So, here, Srila Vishnachakya Thakur says, Kapila has said, Na karhichit matpara shanta rupe nangshanti no me animisho lady heti. Esha maham priya atma sutascha sakaguru suhrudo daivamishtam. This is from the 3rd canto, 25th chapter. Kapila Dev glorifying
devotional service. He says the devotees in the spiritual world are never deprived of any enjoyment. My wheel of time does not afflict those devotees for whom I am a lover, the Atma, the son, friend, elder, companion or worshipable deity. So which means the wheel of time, it's not that it does not act on devotees, but it does not afflict the devotees with their own karma. How then could time attack the Pandavas who are filled with Dasya, Sakya and Vatsalya for Krishna? Who was in Dasya Ras? Nakula and Sahadeva. Who was in Sakya Ras? Arjuna. Who was in Vatsalya Ras? Yudhishthira Maharaj. Bhima to some extent. Kunti Maharani. So, when it is clearly said that the wheel of time does not affect the devotees, then how is it that the Pandavas are suffering? This is most astonishing. Without a cause, time has produced effects whose cause we must infer, but which looks similar to karma. It looks like an ordinary person is getting afflicted by karma, which is brought to him by time. Your suffering also seems like that, but there is no karma there. So, we must infer a different cause here. It cannot be karma. That's what Bhishma Dev is indicating. That is the intention of this verse. Though you have strength of piety, strength of body, strength of skill, strength of scriptural knowledge, strength of friends, and strength of wealth, still you are lamenting. Like that. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes here, Kala is identical with the Lord himself. Therefore, influence of Kala indicates the inexplicable wish of the Lord. Therefore, nothing is to be lamented for when a matter is beyond the control of any human being. We should not lament. We should just let it go. Understanding that the will of the Lord, it's the will of the Lord. So, Kala indicates the inexplicable will of the Lord. So, for devotees, Bhishma will tell in the next two verses, Kala does not carry their karma. Kala carries the will of the Lord. So that will of the Lord can come in the form of suffering, or the will of the Lord can come in the form of happiness. So, therefore, even this is true even for sadhakas. Even for sadhakas, their suffering is not due to their karma, because they are engaged in non-reactive work. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate. So before that, what does Krishna say? Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita. Vedavadarata partha nanyadastiti vajna. Karmakandis. He speaks about karmakandis and sakama karmis. How they perform various activities, following the flowery words of the Vedas. Nanyadasti iti vadinaha. There could be nothing greater than this. Kamatmana swargapara janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogaishwarya gatim prati. I mean, you see, sorry, not this. He says, 9.22 is Ananya Chintayanto Mam. 9.20 and 21 is what?
త్రైవిద్యామాం సోమపా పూముక్పూత పాప యజ్ఞైరిష్ట్వా స్వర్గతిం ప్రార్థయంతే తే పుణ్యమాసాద్య సురేంద్రలోకాన్ అశ్నంతి దివ్యాన్ దివిదేవ భోగాన్ తేతం భుక్త్వా స్వర్గలోకం విశాలం శీనే పుణ్యం అర్థలోకం విశంతి. సో హౌ ఆన్ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ దర్ కర్మ, ఆన్ ద స్ట్రెంగ్త్ ఆఫ్ దర్ పయస్ క్రెడిట్స్, హౌ ఆల్ దీస్ పీపుల్ గో ఎంజాయ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ దే వాంట్ టు ఎంజాయ్. సో కృష్ణ థింక్స్, వాట్ అబౌట్ మై డివోటీస్? మై డివోటీస్ ఆర్ వాలంటరీలీ గివెన్ అప్ ద కరెన్సీ, దే హావ్ గివెన్ అప్ ది దేర్ మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ లైవ్లీహుడ్. ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ వాట్ యు హ్యావ్ అండ్ గెయిన్ వాట్ యు ల్యాక్, యు నీడ్ ద కరెన్సీ ఆఫ్ కర్మ. బట్ కృష్ణ థింక్స్, మై డివోటీస్ హ్యావ్ వాలంటరీలీ given up their livelihood. They can't earn now. They are doing voluntary work, karma free, currency free work. So Krishna thinks, I have to personally protect what they have and provide what they lack, because they don't have any currency to buy it, because devotional service is karma free, no currency, akarma. So Krishna thinks that ananyas chintayanto mam yajana paryupasate tesham nitya abiyuktanam yoga kshemam vahami aham. So Krishna says, I will personally carry what they lack and I will personally protect what they have. That's what Krishna says. So here Srila Prabhupada writes that, what were we reading? Prabhupada's purport, na? What were we discussing? Something?
Kala carries the will of the Lord.
Kala carries the will of the Lord. Kala carries the will of the Lord. So it is... So we were thinking, even sadhakas. So even for sadhakas, their suffering is not due to their karma. It is personally provided by the Supreme Lord. Sometimes it externally looks exactly like karma, as Bhishma Dev is telling here. It looks very much like karma, but it is not. So, at that time, so Krishna sometimes gives suffering, sometimes gives happiness, but the criteria is, whatever is needed to bring that devotee closer to his lotus feet, that is provided. And the devotee, what is his mood? Tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hridvag vapubir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayabak. This is the mood. So in that purport, Srila Vishnu Jagadagur says, just like a father would sometimes give sweetmeats to his child as an expression of affection, and sometimes because of eating lot of sweetmeats, if that child develops some worms in the stomach, then in order to deworm, he has to give some bitter medicine. Even though the child might not like the bitter medicine, but he will never doubt the integrity of his father. He will never think that my father is so bad that he is giving me this bitter thing to eat. He will always have full faith in his father's protection. So he may grudgingly drink that bitter medicine also, without even for a moment doubting his father's affection. So a devotee accepts reversals in this way, because he knows that, oh, this is what Krishna wants me to undergo to bring him closer to his lotus feet. So he thinks, what he gratefully thinks, what all Krishna has to do to
to pull me towards his lotus feet. So he gratefully thinks in this way and thanks Krishna and willingly undergoes that suffering. Ideally. So this is something we can cultivate. So whenever in Bhagavad Gita you see Krishna, whenever it is mentioned that whenever an unrealistic proposal is presented, currently unrealistic, Krishna immediately says, Abhyas karo. If it is not natural, practice it. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhya cha, he says. At all times remember me. Oh, sounds very difficult. So he says, abhyasena tu abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. Right? He says, if it is not natural to you, practice it till it becomes natural. Then Krishna says, chanchalami mana Krishna, pramati balavadridam. Right? Asamshayam mahabaho, mano durnigraham chalam, abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chagrahyate. Very difficult, true. Practice, you will attain perfection. The second instance where he says. Third instance. Mayyeva mana adatsva, may buddhim niveshaya. Oh, this sounds like a very difficult proposal. He says that, atachittam samadhatum nashaknosi maistiram abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. He says, if fixing your mind and concentrating on me constantly is very difficult, he says, abhyasa yoga. Practice. Practice it. Practice fixing your mind in me. So Krishna's standard answer, if something doesn't come naturally to you, but it has to be done, practice it. That is standard instruction. There is nothing esoteric, solution is not given by Krishna. If it is not natural, practice. If it is not natural, practice. That's what Krishna says. First abhyas example was tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhya cha. This is what? 8.7. And then 8.8 is abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina. That verse. Like that. So therefore, if one cannot see Krishna's hand in reversals, then one has to practice seeing Krishna's hand in his reversals. In reversals. How do you do that? Fall at the feet of scriptures and take shelter. Because it's a fact. Because the fact is presented by the scriptures. So the fact has to, the scriptural fact has to take precedence over our anuman that is born out of our pratyaksha. Because it is quite clear, suffering means we naturally would think that, you know, which affectionate person would want me to suffer? So it might be very difficult to see the hands of God in suffering, because that's how our anuman is trained by our pratyaksha in this material world. But there is some pratyaksha in the material world also, where someone who wants your benefit, who is your benevolent well-wisher, also sometimes seemingly does which you may not like. Like the father giving a bitter medicine. That's why Shastras and Acharyas give such examples also. To say that, oh, it is not beyond your pratyaksha also. You have noticed it in your life. Your father sometimes gives you a bitter medicine. You take it and you never curse your father. The same way, can't you accept reversals? You are a devotee. Accept it. Understand. Understand that this is what Krishna wants you to go through to bring so that you can come closer to his lotus feet. This is a fact. Accept it. Shastras say. So therefore we have to, it's not natural for us, but we can practice. We have to cultivate.
Wherever it does not come naturally, it has to be cultivated.
In general, you observe that any climatic problem comes, you observe that very clearly it is observed that it is my mistake, or it is my own sinful activities, or basically I am the cause.
So see, the cause-effect system is not as simple as we think. It may seem like instant karma, but okay, let's forget about karma. Let's directly answer your question. Okay, so here it may seem like it is a reaction to what you did, no doubt about it, but it may not be karma. It may be Krishna's arrangement so that you learn your lesson and come close to Krishna.
For that
reason. Understood, na? But that karma, that reaction will not bind you to this material world. It will take you one step closer to Krishna's feet. You understand, right? Like that. Just give me 1 minute, I'll just use the washroom. What I wanted to mention was that generally our tendency is to think that once I develop taste, then I will do it. But Krishna says, no, understand what needs to be done. And if you don't feel naturally inclined to do it, try to develop that inclination to do it. Then it will become natural. I was watching Prabhupada Memories video yesterday. And there, Brahmananda Prabhu was sharing a memory, early memory. Very early New York days, Prabhupada had just met the initial devotees. Kirtanananda Maharaj and Hayagriva Prabhu and all of them. And everyone would pay obeisances to Prabhupada. But Gargamuni Prabhu would not pay obeisances. Not because he was offensive, but he thought that I must naturally feel like bowing down. So, if I naturally don't feel like bowing down, then my bowing down is just a fake. So, one day he went to Prabhupada and presented his case. Prabhupada, I see all of them are bowing down, but I don't bow down because I don't feel like. And if I don't feel like bowing down, if I still bow down, isn't it just a show? Isn't it just faking? So, I should have the feeling and then I should bow down, right? So, Prabhupada said, you bow down and the feeling will come. So, it's a very profound statement. Actually, it is true. Krishna throughout Bhagavad Gita does the same thing. He says, abhyas, and then it will come naturally. But if you think that naturally the taste will come and then you will do, it doesn't work. That's why after nishtha only comes ruchi in one's devotional development also. Nishtha means where there is no taste, but there is regular, regulated performance of devotional service. Taste is not there. Taste is rewarded for the dutiful performance of devotional service despite not having taste. So, taste or natural absorption comes only as a reward for dutiful performance. So, dutiful performance comes first. That's what Krishna says. Very simple solutions Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. If it doesn't come naturally, just practice it. Just practice. Abhyasa. Like that. So, then, yes, bro.
Karma is totally under Krishna's control.
Yeah.
Sadhaka is like
He is sadhaka because his shraddha is pure. Not if his shraddha is not. If his shraddha is not pure, no. Yeah. If his shraddha is not pure, he is still depending on some karma. Nayasya karhi chidrajan puman veda viditsitam yad vijigyasaya yukta muyanti kavayopihi. So, he says that, O king, so what should I understand? You said kala, I said kala means karma. Now you are telling kala does not necessarily mean karma. Then what should I understand? Why am I suffering? So he says, puman nahi karhichit veda. No one can understand asya viditsitam, the plan of Krishna. Which means, how by undergoing this suffering, I will be taken close to the lotus feet of Krishna, I may not be able to understand. How has Krishna planned bringing me closer to his lotus feet by making me undergoing this suffering, that no one can understand at that point of time. But few days, few weeks, few months, few years down the line, in retrospect, one can understand. Oh, only because I went through this thing, I am still practicing devotional service. Right? We all have that story in our life, isn't it? What we at that time perceived as something very unfortunate brought us closer to Krishna. I remember when I was in the United States, I was sort of not practicing. I had not come in touch with devotees. I knew devotees, but I was running away from devotees because I knew that these people, if they catch me, then my material life is finished. So, I was very carefully staying away from them. But my department senior was, one of my department seniors was the president of that Penn State Vedic Society. ISKCON, you can say. So, he was doing his PhD and once what happened, I had purchased the car. But under some circumstances, you know, one of my lab mates wanted to sell his car because he was leaving. And he said, you know, I don't have time to sell. I will give it to you at half of what it's worth. I never thought of buying a car or anything. So my another lab mate said, just take it. Even if you buy it and sell it later, okay, it's worth $4,000, he is giving it to you for $2,000. Just because he does not have time to dispose that car. Take it and you could even sell it later if you don't want to use it. But it's really worth it. So I said, okay, if my friend says, so I purchased that car. But I didn't have a driver's license. You know, I had learned some basic driving, but I didn't have a driver's license. So, I was just practicing in our parking lot. I used to practice. One day, I just got some guts. I took the car outside the parking lot. As soon as I hit the road, I lost all confidence to drive. So, which in the United States, you cannot stop anywhere. And you have to follow the speed limit. If it is 60 miles per hour, you can't drive at 55 miles per hour also. You have to drive at least at 60 miles per hour. So you have to keep driving. And, you know, I just really got lost. I didn't know where to turn. You know, I was so nervous. And I didn't want to stop also because I didn't know where to stop. You can't stop anywhere in the United States. So I got really, and then I went, turned right, left, and I passed through the next two towns, small towns. And I went somewhere and then I saw a gas station and I just pulled the car there and stopped.
And I said, I will not get into this car again. Someone else has to drive. So at that time, I took my cell phone and I was looking at, you know, numbers, whom I can call. You know, I didn't have many friends. So I called whomever I could. No one could come to help. I was left with only one person. That was my department senior. A devotee. So I called him, and that day was their program day. So he said that, I can't come because it's a program day. At that time, I was so desperate. I was almost at the verge of tears, you know. I didn't have anyone to help. I don't have a license. What will I do? So he said, he found this as a artha arthi jigyasu jyan. He found this a good opportunity. So he said, I will come, but I won't have time to drop you at your place. Okay. So you come, and we have a small program. After the program, I will drop you at your place. No problem. I said, I didn't have time to think about anything. So I said, yes, 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 you just come and rescue me. So he came all the way. And then he said, don't do anything. Just keep driving. Just follow my car. Wherever I stop, you stop. So you don't have to think anything. You just have to follow my car. I said, okay. I followed. Went to that house. Then that's it. You know, from that day onwards, slowly, 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 you know, that day I was thinking, you know, if any other friend, if you would have picked up the phone and come to my rescue, then I would not have, or if I had not taken the car out only. I thought this was the most unfortunate thing. Why did I do? I was thinking, why did I buy this car? You know, I should not have bought this car, you know. What is this? I was cursing myself. And finally, it turned out. And I eventually ended up using that car only for 2 more weeks. After that, it met with an accident. It was junked. You know, the car came, did its job, and then... So I thought, you know, I would buy the car for $2,000, sell it for $4,000 and make a profit of $2,000. I lost $2,000, but of course, you know, I could gain Krishna, you know. So many times, you know, what is unfortunate, we think that way, but then in retrospect, you realize that, it was plan of Krishna. So he says that no one can understand the plan of Krishna. Don't try to evaluate. How is it reasonable? Why? How would someone come closer to Krishna by undergoing a suffering? You never know. Because all the while, right from day one, 2000 to August. See, I had some experience of Krishna consciousness in India, which was not very favorable. Because of which I was running away from devotees. And the first day I landed there in the United States, the first day only I came to know that there are devotees here in Penn State. So from 2002, so I just went and very innocently inquired what all happened and all that. And I decided, okay, I should stay away from these people. So I took the names of all the people who are there as part of the society. So that, you know, I will memorize them and ensure that, you know, I don't come in touch with them. So for almost 3 years, I avoided them. So in 2005, later, I came in touch with devotees through Krishna's plan. And somehow, you know, got in touch with Krishna consciousness. So, no one can understand the plan of the Lord. That's what here Bhishma Dev is telling. You don't know how Krishna will bring you closer to his lotus feet. But just have faith. That's what he's telling. That just have faith that this is plan of Krishna. And as a devotee, you should be feeling happy that the plan of Krishna is being executed. A devotee is always happy when Krishna's plan is executed. Not only is he happy executing Krishna's plan,
But he wants to take all the additional efforts to assist Krishna in executing his plan, in preaching. So therefore, Bhishma Dev is telling that be happy that Krishna's plan is being executed. But don't try to understand Krishna's plan. That you will not be able to understand. In retrospect, yes. But at that point of time, you cannot. But just understand that this is Krishna's plan. And flow with it. That's what Bhishma Dev is telling here to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So here Srila Vaishnava Chakra Thakur says, so what should I conclude? He says, here is the general conclusion. Everyone agrees that no one can interfere with the plans of Krishna and no one can even understand what his plans are even today. No person starting with Brahma and Shiva knows the plan of the Lord. What to speak of me? Maybe no one knows. But inquiry is necessary. One should inquire. Does he want to give us suffering? Or does he want to give us joy? Or does he want to give us suffering and happiness? Both. What does he really want to do? It cannot be the first option. You cannot say that Krishna wants to give us suffering because his quality of being a bhakta vatsala would be cancelled. Right? You cannot say that he gives us happiness only because we have not seen any happiness in our life. It cannot be the third option. He wants to sometimes give us happiness, sometimes give us suffering, because that would also be a contradiction to his kind nature. It is finally decided that no one can solve the problem by inquiry. Just by inquiring, you cannot solve this problem. Thus the verse says that even those who use their intelligence to discriminate and those who use knowledge of scripture are bewildered by inquiry. So yesterday also we saw there are certain things which are eternally achintya for the living entities. So the plan of the Lord is also one of them. One cannot understand the plan of the Lord. Yesterday we saw many proofs for this. Karmanyani hasya bhavo abhavasyate. Krishna has, the Shastras say that he doesn't perform any activity, but he performs many pastimes. Shastras say he has no birth, but he takes birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, like that. You know, there are these so many contradictory things which would eternally remain a contradiction for all living entities, Jivatmas. But devotees are not bothered by it. They celebrate the contradictions. They glorify the Supreme Lord. They are happy with it. Like that. So therefore he says that don't try to understand the plan of Krishna. You will not be able to understand. You will not know how Krishna, by putting you to suffering, is bringing you closer to his lotus feet. But just have faith that Krishna is doing it just for that. For nothing else. It may challenge your sense of logic. But have faith in Krishna. That's what he is telling. So, Prabhupada here writes in the purport, no one including Lord Shiva, Brahma and the sages can ascertain the real plan of Krishna. Therefore, simply abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The suffering of the Pandavas was never due to their past deeds. But Krishna wanted to establish the kingdom of virtue and his devotees had to suffer temporarily. Why did Krishna make his great devotee warrior Bhishma lose? Prabhupada writes, he made him lose in order to show that wise, V-I-C-E, wise, not W-I-S-E, that wise cannot conquer virtue regardless of who tries to execute it. So, even if it may be a pure devotee, if he is on the side of vice, then vice cannot conquer virtue in order to show that. But that's a very, in one sense, that's a superficial reason. Eventually, Bhishma Dev did not lose. Did Bhishma Dev lose? Krishna came personally to give him darshan, accept his prayers, fulfill the desire of Bhishma Dev to see the Pandavas enthroned successfully. All of that Krishna personally came to fulfill all those desires of Bhishma Dev. How can such a person be a loser? Even someone like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. He cannot win the material battle, but the spiritual battle, because of being a devotee, he won very successfully. Successfully won. Like that. So we'll end here, and we have about 30 odd verses left to complete. Tomorrow, 3 hours, I think we should be able to complete this chapter tomorrow. We'll try our best and complete this chapter tomorrow. All right.